What's happening, beautiful people? Welcome back to the Thrive After Sports podcast. What you're about to watch or listen to is a workshop that I hosted at Fresno State titled How to Find Clarity in Life After Sports. By the way, if you are watching on YouTube, please go subscribe to the Thrive After Sports podcast on Apple or Spotify or wherever else you get your podcasts. And if you're listening to the podcast, please go subscribe to my YouTube channel. Just type in Thrive After Sports. But nonetheless, I hope that this episode is beneficial for those of you who are trying to find clarity. I was speaking to a group of seniors, but you don't have to be a senior in college to still be trying to find clarity in your life. So I hope that this resonates with anyone who may be in a point in their lives where they're trying to find clarity. Without further ado, let's get into this workshop, How to Find Clarity in Life After Sports at Fresno State.
How are we doing? Good. Congratulations on making it through senior year. How's it feel?
Great.
Okay. I have a question before we get started with our guest that's here today. My question is, how many of you in the room have heard from a teammate, from a friend, from maybe a parent, that it in some cases can be challenging when you're done with college sports? Raise your hand as high as you can. Oh, good.
That's everybody.
Okay, so number one, today's purpose and why it was required. You know, I'm always about telling you why we're doing things, right? Today's purpose and the requirement behind it was to help equip you to make, to close that gap a little bit, right? It's not gonna be perfect, it's hard, right? I'm a former student athlete, Taj is a guest speaker, former student athlete, it's hard, it doesn't matter. But what we are aiming to do is to minimize that and to make sure that even when you're done 5 years from now, you know that there are resources and there are people out there that get it, they've gone through it, they've done it, they've come out successfully on the other side, and they are still willing and want to continue to help you as former student athletes. Okay, so that's the purpose. With that, one of the very best to do that, Taj Deshaun, is here with us. He's a former student athlete himself, now spends his life's work trying to help former student athletes excel in life after sport, thrive in life after sport.
There it is.
Please give him a warm welcome and let's be very engaged, okay?
Thank you guys, thank you guys. First and foremost, I don't know, wait, so everyone in here is a senior? For real, every single person? Okay. That makes things interesting. Hi, I'm Taj. I'm the bald head dude on the book that you're looking at right there. This is going to be, I'm going to have to make sure I don't trip over this. This is going to be a little bit different than you're used to. I know a lot of times people come in here and they just talk at you. This is going to be one of those situations where I really want to engage with you guys because I'm a coach at heart. I speak from time to time, but really I want to coach and I want to be able to help you guys based on real situations that you're dealing with. So I'm not gonna call on you because when I was in college, even my senior year, I didn't want nobody calling on me. Like, just leave me alone. Let me chill in the back with my flip-flops and my hoodie on. But I want you to understand that some of you guys who, and I'm getting over a cold, so bear with me. But some of you guys who are a little bit more, thank you, brother. That's much better, actually. Thank you. Some of you guys who are a little bit more outgoing or more likely to share, like if I ask a question or something comes up and you want to share something, if you guys step forward and share, it'll be a lot more helpful to those who may be a little bit more reserved, right? Because I was a dude in college where I would sit back and not really say anything, but if someone else was getting help or advice, I would listen in and just kind of peep game from what was going on there. So hope that makes sense. I'm gonna kick this off with a quote. This is one of my favorite quotes. My book actually starts out with this quote. I think this is really gonna set the tone for what we're gonna talk about today. Don't ask yourself what the world needs, ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is more people who have come alive. That's why I say this is gonna be a little bit different. This is not some cookie cutter, hey, I'm gonna help you, you know, figure out what kind of career you want. Like, I really want you guys to dig deep tonight. You guys are here, you could be anywhere else in the world on a Tuesday night. You know, me personally on a Tuesday night, I might've been getting lit somewhere. So good for y'all for being here and investing in yourselves, right? So let's get into it. What is now is that too many athletes, and as Carly mentioned, I work with retired athletes. That's kind of my specialty. I do coaching cohorts, one-on-one group coaching. Too many athletes, like you guys all raised your hand with teammates who are having trouble or trying to figure out what's next or have had challenges. Way too many athletes, despite people like Carly putting great resources in front of you guys, it's tough because you don't really have time to try to figure out what you want to do. You know, you guys have so much on your plate already. So inevitably there's going to be many of you. I saw you with the squeaky chair. That's hilarious. I was like, where is that coming from? Don't worry about it. It's okay. But my point is that too many athletes struggle to figure out what's next, and that's what's now, and I think that's a huge problem. But with folks like Carly and folks like yourselves, because one day you will be the folks who are pouring into the athletes coming up behind you, your younger teammates who are going to be lost, you can help them navigate those waters, right? So I think what could be is that, I don't want to say 100%, but 99% of athletes will have a much clearer picture of what they want to do when they're done. And we're going to get that process started tonight. All right, next. I already touched on this, but this is not a lecture. You know, I'm a coach, so it's helpful if we have more of like a coach and player dynamic once we really get rolling tonight, instead of like a speaker audience type of situation. Because I can only give you, my goal is to give you new ways of thinking, right? And I can only give you those new ways of thinking if I'm getting feedback based on real things you guys are dealing with. So this is just some housekeeping stuff to get out the way before we get cracking tonight. So it's funny because me and Carly, we recorded a podcast earlier, and me and Carly were talking about the difference between trying to tell someone what to do versus asking them a question. So my goal for tonight is to not only ask you guys questions, but to help you guys ask yourself the right questions, things that you can take with you for the rest of your life. Don't be too cool to take notes. I mean, if you open, you can use the little QR sheet, or there's a bunch of pages, blank. It doesn't really matter where you take notes. There will be some things that I specifically tell you to write down tonight. I'll be like, hey, turn to this page, write this down, let's do this exercise. But aside from that, like if something pops up and it resonates with you, and you'll know it when you hear it, if I say something or someone else says something, because I'm here to learn from you guys too. But if someone says something tonight that resonates with you, I want you to make sure you write it down. So don't be too cool to take notes, okay? Okay, excitement versus fear. What do you think that means? Someone, anybody. What do you think that means? What's the difference between excitement and fear? Yes, ma'am.
You can tell your, because you have nerves and everything, so you can tell yourself to say whether it's excitement or fear, and the same way that when we're competing, of like, you get those nerves, is it excitement about you're about to compete, or is it fear that you're gonna mess up?
Okay, that was good. I like how you said you can tell yourself. And that's the reason that I put that up there. Because the reason I shared that is I want you guys to have a level of excitement around graduation, right? So is everyone graduating in May? It's right around the corner. I'm not trying to scare you guys. I'm just saying, like, I know that, but it's so close. Does anybody feel like college went by fast?
Yeah.
Right? I feel like college went by twice as fast as high school for me. Probably because I was drunk the whole time. I think that might be the reason. I think so, honestly. But you're absolutely, and what's your name, Miss?
L.
So L is on point with that. There's a level of uncertainty, which makes it fearful. Like, you know, is it April? I'm tripping. I've been traveling a lot. April. So that's next month. There's a level of uncertainty. Like once you guys walk across that stage next month, there's a fear that comes with that, because some of you guys may know, how many of you guys know exactly what you want to do, by the way, or have a job lined up? That hand went up quick. She's like, I do. Okay, perfect. For the majority of you, there's that level of uncertainty because it's like, I'm not really sure what I'm going to do next, which that's natural, right? To be nervous. But like Elle said, if you can tell yourself, well, you know what? If you think about it like this, I have the next 40, 50, 60, 70 years of my life. Almost everyone in here is like 21, 22, right? So you have that much time ahead of you to be able to become whoever you want to be and create what that looks like. So just think about it like that. And that brings a level of excitement with it rather than just being scared about what's next. That's a perfect segue into long-term versus short-term thinking. So does everybody remember when they got their first scholarship offer, when they committed to Fresno State? Someone tell me, what was that feeling you had when that first offer came? Do they still send it in the mail? I'm a little older than y'all. They send you an email with an offer now, or what? A text? A call? Okay. Someone tell me the feeling you had when you got that first offer. The first one. What comes to mind? Anybody?
Relief
is a good one. I felt relief too. I was like, yeah. Relief that my parents weren't gonna be on my back about how to pay for school. So that was the main one. Anyone else relief?
Accomplishment,
that's a solid one. Okay, what else?
Excitement,
very good. Same thing, short term, nerves. I'm afraid of what's next. Easy to fall into, but I want you to be intentional about anytime you catch yourself being in that place of I'm scared about what's next, tap into that same place you were at when you got that first scholarship offer of excitement. I'm excited about the opportunity to create what's next. Emphasis on create, by the way. We're going to keep coming back to that a lot because we're talking about creating your life here. All right, so that's me. You see how pixelated this is? It's from a little while ago. By the way, I always love to play the game of how old do you think I am? I'm just curious. 35? That's a good guess. Anybody else? Less than 35?
Yeah.
What number? Pick a number.
32.
Okay. 31. Let me get one more guess. What'd you say? Forever 21? Fair enough. Maybe on the inside. So I'm 33. I was around before, you know, I was playing football before Instagram. Instagram actually came out my senior year, just to let you guys know. So yeah, I'm 33. I'm not gonna get too deep into my story. Like even the book, this is actually a good place to tell you about the book. Even though my bald head is on the cover shining, like that doesn't mean the book is about me. It's not like an autobiography. I'm not important enough for you to read like, oh, I was born in 1991. Like nobody cares about all that. The book is a tool. So I'm gonna tell you my story right now, but just certain elements of it. And like you see in parentheses, what not to do, because I want to tell you the things that I really messed up on or I could have done better because I didn't have people like Carly helping me out or putting resources in front of me. I just had people trying to make sure I was eligible, you know, putting me in the basket weaving classes and all that type of stuff. So senior year, right before, it was the holiday. So I was home for a winter break and I was at a Christmas party with my family. And I have a big family, so it was like 60 people under a small roof. And some of you guys I know have experienced this. There's a point in the night where you get to having conversations with family members who you haven't seen in a long time, and they start to ask you like, hey, so you're about to graduate, like what are you gonna do next? You got any jobs lined up? And what are you thinking? What are you doing? And for me, I would get mad every time someone would ask me that, because I'm like, man, I don't know, let me just enjoy my plate, you know, like. And I was almost mad at them, but really I was mad at myself because I didn't have an answer to that question. Can anybody relate? This past, you know, people ask you those questions over the holidays. So the thing about it is there's not really a grace period where you have time. I mean, I know some of you guys have already played your last game, but there's not really that grace period to where you play your last game and now you have space to be able to really start to carve out your life. And that's what's missing a lot of times, in addition to having resources, you know, put in front of you or someone you can talk to about it. So fast forward a little bit. I come back home from that Christmas party. Now it's like January or February. I went to school in New York. So basically there's a train station on campus at Stony Brook that would take you to the heart of the city, New York City. So I met up with a teammate of mine who graduated the year before, and this dude just got cut from an NFL camp, and he had just got a job in the city, and he was like, hey man, let's hang out, like let's meet up. I want to tell you about what life has been like. And so I met up with him and I'm like, man, so what's it been like? Like how's life since you graduated? And he was like, man, honestly, it sucks. Those were his exact words. He's like, it's actually terrible. You know, they give me 30 minutes for lunch. I don't really have time to, I just feel like I'm in a box all day. I have to ask for permission to go to the bathroom. You know, I'm sitting in the cubicle all day long. And honestly, as he was explaining his day-to-day to me, we're supposed to be out having a good time. We're in New York City, having drinks, going club hopping. We're supposed to be having a great time. But as he's telling me about his experience, I just felt this wave of anxiety wash over me. You know, and really it was because I was thinking to myself, like, is that what's waiting on the other side of graduation for me? Sitting in a cubicle all day, doing something I hate, 30 minutes for lunch. How many of you guys know somebody who goes to work every day and hates what they do? Who are some of those people? Parents, or give me some examples of people that you know. Okay. Is it mostly everybody's parents? Is there anyone whose parents aren't, or it's not their parents, who you know that is doing something every day that they don't enjoy? Who is it?
It's one of my old teammates from my old school. She graduated and has a job that she hates. She doesn't hate what she does, but she hates her job.
Like, that was her work environment. Oh, so she likes what she does, but the environment isn't.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, if the environment is trash, it's very easy not to enjoy the job itself. So The good news is that doesn't have to be you, like, especially because I know most of you guys who raise your hands, we're talking about your parents. We're talking about people who were probably around before we had the opportunities that we have today at our fingertips, right? They just kind of, I don't know, maybe they were getting jobs in the newspaper or something, or wherever you find jobs before you, you know, you're able to find jobs and or create a job, I should say. So that doesn't have to be you. And anyway, so let me fast forward. I graduated, I moved back home. And I remember I was afraid of being in a job that I hated, right? Because I was talking to my teammate. What I hadn't considered is that, what if I couldn't even get a job in the first place? I didn't even think about that. Like, and that was exactly the position I was in. I didn't even know how to put a resume together. I didn't even know what type of job I wanted. And I remember I asked this girl I was dating at the time to help me put a resume together because I didn't know how to do it. And she was like, "You're spoiled." I'm like, "Spoiled?" Spoiled? I made the Russell Westbrook face, like, "Spoiled? What you mean spoiled? I bust my ass, I earned that scholarship." And she was like, "You're, maybe spoiled isn't the wrong word, but you're coddled because everything has just been given to you." And she was like, "You know, I had to put my own resume together. I had to figure out what I wanted. I had to do this, this, and that." And I'm like, "Yeah, but you didn't have to get up at 5 a.m. to work out either." So we're gonna skip over that part, right? But the point is, she was right though. We are coddled in a sense, you know, and obviously you guys are proactive. Those of you who are here are proactive about showing up here and like doing something that's going to benefit you. But for the most part, you know, nobody's going to be helping you put your resume together or applying for jobs and things like that. And I know Carly and others have done a phenomenal job of equipping you guys to be able to do that on your own. But that was the toughest pill for me to swallow, is like, wow, like I don't really know what I'm doing and I don't really have anyone to help me, you know. And so I found myself back home in my childhood bedroom, you know, drinking. I didn't realize it at the time, but I was extremely depressed. Like, drinking, a few of my teammates were back home at the time, so we're all out partying, you know, and there's nothing else to do. We were unemployed, so we were just, you know, club hopping. And I would really spend my whole days, like, I'd wake up a little bit and look for jobs, but kind of like not really. I just kind of like pretending to look for jobs on Indeed. But most of my day was spent smoking. Like, I would just go for a walk around the block and smoke a joint and come back in and hope that my parents wouldn't want to be trying to talk to me. I was scrambling to try to find something, even though I didn't know what I wanted, because I wanted to, like, I felt naked without my athletic identity. And that's the thing about it. Like, I really felt like I just wanted to check the box and say, like, I got a job. So when people asked me the question, I could tell them that I was doing something, right? I wanted to feel like I belong somewhere. And there's really, once again, there's no grace period for most of us where we have time to really sit back and reflect and think about what type of life do I want to create for myself. Emphasis again on creating. So now, if we're going to be intentional about where we're going to go next, that means we can't just take any job. I'm not saying don't take a job to do what you need to do to make ends meet, but you don't just want to fall into something just to check the box to say, okay, I'm an adult now, I have a job. What do you guys think are some stereotypical athlete careers? Coach, okay. Anything else? Carly and I were talking earlier about sales. And here's, okay, let me preface it by saying this. There's nothing wrong with being a coach. There's nothing wrong with getting into sales. But what I'm saying is, some of you guys would be better served if you were to be more intentional about the type of roles you're going into and not just picking something that's comfortable. Because a lot of athletes kind of get into something that, including me, like I got into sales when I graduated because sales jobs are always hiring and they're looking for athletes and they're looking for people who are competitive. And people were telling me like, "Hey, Taj, you're a competitor, you're an athlete, you should get into sales." So that's what I did. It turns out it wasn't the best fit for me. So my whole point of this is, if you're going to be intentional, don't just fall into something because someone else is telling you to do it. You want to start internally. You want to start to think about what it is that you want to do, because you can better serve yourself and the world at large if you choose something that's more in alignment with who you really are. So I need a volunteer. Someone tell me what sport they play. Softball. Okay. When did you first start playing softball? And then, is it an overstatement to say you fell in love with the game of softball?
Not an overstatement.
Okay. So, were you in like 7th grade, 8th grade when you first fell in love with it?
Yeah.
Okay, what if right at that point where you're like, "You know what, I'm really good at softball, I love this game." What if someone were to come to you and be like, "You know what, I know you love softball," and what's your name, by the way? Taylor. Taylor, I know you love softball, but you should be a bowler. Matter of fact, no more softball practice. We're going to go to bowling practice. I use the analogy of a bowler because athletes can be great at anything. We have that drive, that ambition to self-improve. But that analogy of a bowler applies to the business world as well. And I see too many people. Some of them are your former teammates. They're doing well, but they're unhappy. Just like the young lady was telling me earlier, they're doing well, but they're not happy in their role because you're going to do well. You guys are going to do well no matter where you go. But do you, because of that reason alone, do you understand how important it is for you to choose the right thing? All right, I want to get to like helping you guys choose the right thing. I'm going to skip some of this. When you see customize your life, what does that mean to you? Someone tell me what comes to mind when you see that. Customizing your life. Oh, wait, I'm cool with silence. I'm chilling. Yes, ma'am.
Love.
That's good. I like that. Okay. To customize your life is to do something you love. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
I think it implies like choice, making decisions.
Absolutely. Right, because you have to make a choice in order to customize it. You have to have some agency in creating that. Right? Very good. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Intention is the theme of the night, by the way. The whole, like, I want you guys to take that book home and read the book, because I'm just trying to, if you don't take anything else from tonight, I just want you to be intentional. I'm going to give you guys some tools about how to do that. But what else comes to mind in terms of, yes?
Making it your own.
Making it your own. That's fire. That's good. Anybody else? Customizing your life. Yes, ma'am. Very good. I like that. That actually leads me into my next point. Are you reading my mind? What's going on here? Okay, I don't know either. I'm watching you. All right, does anybody else want to share anything before I go into the next point? And what's your name, ma'am?
Amelia.
Amelia. So what Amelia said is important because Amelia is talking about thinking about your entire life, not just your job. So something I always say is that it's important to not just think about you want to think about your lifestyle. Think about the lifestyle you're trying to create. And then fit your job into that. It's very hard to do it the other way around. It's very hard to say, I'm thinking about what type of job I want, and then you're gonna try to fit a life or live a lifestyle outside of when you're not working. That's where you end up in a situation where, thank God it's Friday. Oh, the weekend went by so fast. Oh, it's Sunday night, the Sunday night blues. I can't believe it's Monday again already. You know, that type of stuff. When you hear stuff like that, well, you guys probably haven't heard it yet, but there are a lot of workplaces where that's the common attitude. And it's very difficult as someone who's used to being a part of a team and being a competitive athlete to have all this drive and ambition. And then you go into this space where it's like everyone's just there for a paycheck. It's very, very uncomfortable. So, oh, by the way, I haven't even told you guys to write. You might want to write that down. Try to fit your job into your lifestyle instead of trying to fit your lifestyle around your job. Yeah, just write it wherever. There's a couple pages I'll have you guys turn to later. But. All right, where you guys are writing that, let's talk a little bit more about intention. So has anybody ever heard, well, you have to try things to kind of figure out what you like and what you don't like. Has anybody heard that before? Has anyone given you that advice when you're trying to figure out what's next? There's an element of truth to that, but imagine how much faster you can get to where you're ultimately trying to go if you just start with being intentional, right? So, plus everything is easier to get into than to get out of. You could be in a job, you could be working somewhere, and now you're kind of stuck there because you have obligations, right? You move out, you get an apartment, you get a new car, you have bills to pay. And now you're in a job that you chose just because it's something you fell into, and you're stuck there because you can't just up and leave. Versus if you were intentional about where you're going, even if you're not making a lot of money at first, at least you're on a path that's true to you and is going to bring you long-term fulfillment, and you're making money at the same time. The reason I call my brand Thrive After Sports is based on the principle of not just surviving, but thriving in everything you do. It's very easy to get a job and survive and make money and pay bills. Like, that's kind of the basics. That's just being an adult. Like, I have a job, I have a car, I pay my rent, or I pay my mortgage, right? All that is cool, but thriving is what, Amelia, right? Is it Amelia? Oh, man, I caught you looking at your nails. I saw thriving is what Amelia said earlier. It's really being intentional about the type of lifestyle you want to live and creating that. Okay, so I have a question for you guys, and you definitely want to write this one down. And this is something for you to ponder on whenever you have some time. The question is, how do you want to live? I don't know when's the last time someone asked you that, because, you know, what do people normally ask you? They'll say, what's your major? What do you want to do after you graduate? No one really asks you how you want to live. Okay? You know what? Okay, there are a few people who raised their hands earlier who said they know exactly what they want to do. Okay. One of you, can you please tell me what it is that you're going to do and how that ties into how you want to live? Anyone? Yes.
I'm pretty much just going to continue on my sport after I graduate. I'm going to become a professional coaching, basically. And then have some, marketing into it, because I'm going to be doing, some sales with the, equestrian industry. And my major is sports marketing.
Nice. Okay. Very cool. Now, I'm guessing you knew from a young age that you, okay, yeah, that makes sense. So that's the lifestyle you want. That's a perfect example, right? There are some folks who are doing things that are not in alignment with how they actually want to live. Like, obviously you want to continue to be around horses, and then you added the marketing layer on top of it. Anyone else? There were some other people who said they knew exactly what they wanted to do, or they had a job lined up or something like that. Anybody? Yes, Amelia.
I'll be heading to a veterinary school.
Okay. Wow, that's a lifestyle component right there, if I ever heard one. A ranch, that's very specific. I like it, okay. I didn't even know there were ranches in Minnesota. I thought there was just snow, to be honest with you. Oh, that makes sense, okay. So, fair enough, okay. Now, let me see, where are we at? I never stick to my notes or the slides, ever. Okay. Oh, here's another thing. I want you to write this down. So clarity, is anybody in here struggling with, let's just get to the bottom of it. Anybody in here struggling figuring out what you want to do next? Okay, that's a lot of people. So when you're in a place of trying to find clarity, I think a lot of times people think that clarity is just going to be bestowed upon you, right? Like you're going to be walking down the street one day and then the angels are going to start singing. They're going to be like, you're supposed to do this. And like, oh, finally, I've been waiting on this, man. I'm glad. But really, clarity has to be cultivated. So I want you to write that down too. Clarity has to be cultivated. Like, it takes work, just like anything else. It's a process, just like any other process, of trying to figure out what it is that you want to do and how you want to live. So for those of you who raise your hand, and this is probably a good time to do some, give you some advice. For those of you who raise your hand, I think it was a few of you ladies up here about not being clear on what you want to do. Does anyone want to share, and it's okay, don't be embarrassed. I didn't know what I wanted to do till I was 27. So you guys are already ahead of the curve. But does anyone want to share, something that maybe they have an idea? Maybe you ladies have an idea of something that you might want to do, but you're not sure. It's an opportunity to get some guidance right now. Anything, or do you just have no clue, which is also fine. You said HR or marketing, and then you said ag or what was the other one?
Just regular business.
Okay, so let me ask you a question that I've already asked tonight. What do you actually want your life to look like in terms of, are you going to an office every day? Are you working remotely? What do you want to be spending your time doing on a day-to-day basis? Right.
I'd like to kind of be up and about doing things as well. I don't want to be a professional in my sport. That is something I'm very set on.
Mm-hmm.
But I do still want to continue my sport as an amateur, so I want to be able to have that on the side and go to that a couple days a week as well.
Okay.
Have a job
And what sport do you play?
Equestrian.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, it may make sense for you to do a remote job so that way you have more time to be around people. But you can't really do that because you need the human interaction.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you would just be on your laptop and then around horses all day. So that's not really what you're after, right? Yeah, I feel you. Okay, so hybrid is a good fit. Now, the difference between ag and marketing, what's the hold, like, not the hold up, it's not a hold up, but like, what is,
like, yeah. I have to pick a certain commodity or industry that I would want to work in.
Mm-hmm.
For ag, and I feel like with ag, I would want to pick a commodity that I would feel one proud to represent, and two, I would feel more encouraged to promote and sell, versus like, I don't want to sell something I have no interest in whatsoever. So I feel like I would have to pick what I would want, and I don't necessarily know which kind of part of the industry I would want to go into.
Okay. And you said you're actually interested in ag or not really?
My minor was in ag business, okay. And so now I'm just getting my MBA.
But there's interest in agriculture or not really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So it's like, do I want to stick with something that I know and I'm familiar with? Or it sounds like really there just needs to be more exploration on the marketing side.
Yeah.
Meaning like if you could find an industry or something that actually interests you, maybe there's something to do with horses. Like, kind of like Elle was saying, like something to do with marketing in that world, which anyway. You're like, yeah, I got it. Okay, I got it. You're like, that's enough. Thank you. Anybody else have a situation where you're kind of like feeling indecisive about what you want to do? Or yes. Yeah, the visa situation is tough, right? But in terms of, what did you say your major was?
Right now I'm doing certificate program, like tech.
Okay.
So I can get OPT for 1 year, mm-hmm. which is like a 1 year old visa from school, but it has to be related to education.
Okay.
So.
Have you already started to get some like internship or work experience related to that?
No.
Okay. So you know what I would do, and this is like general advice for everyone, even though I'm giving this to you for your specific situation. The visa thing, obviously that's out of everyone's hands, right? You can only do so much with that. But in terms of finding employment and earning money while you're trying to wait that out, what I would do is, you said you're already looking into some opportunities or roles or companies, right? Right, and education.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So have you started to target some companies or kind of like, what are you seeing in the world of education where you could land a job to make you money while you're figuring out the visa situation? Have you identified any companies or anything like that? What I would do is this, and hopefully this, oh yes, go ahead.
If it applies,
Wow.
Yeah.
Do y'all know each other?
Yeah.
Wow. You're welcome. I don't know. That's a great connection right there. Now I'm actually curious if they know each other for real. Do they know each other? I love stuff like that. I'm gonna let them finish networking before I continue. Do your thing, ladies. All right, I'm gonna let those two ladies do their thing. Hey, y'all need to talk afterwards and you know, like, continue that conversation. That's awesome. Great connection right there. All right, everybody do me a favor real quick. Turn to page 40. So at the end of each chapter, you'll see on the right-hand side, there's a timeout. I want you to turn to page 40 because I want you to use that space on the left, like under that last paragraph, to do an exercise real quick. This is something you can put into action immediately, especially for those of you who are still a little bit uncertain or trying to figure out what you want to do. I want you to make three columns on the left side of the page, three columns, who, what, and how. Those are the headers for each column. Who, what, and how. And I'll tell you what that means in just a second. Vertical? You said? Oh. Hey, y'all getting fancy on me. Like, just three vertical columns. It's cool. We got some statistics majors. Y'all in here making charts and stuff. Graphs. You got it? Everybody? Good? All right. All right, the first column, and I need a volunteer for this one. Well, let me explain it to you. So who, what, and how. When you're in a place in your life, when you're trying to figure out what it is that you want to do, this is a great exercise because ultimately everything that we do in life comes down to serving people in some way, shape, or form. And people are like, yeah, Taj, that's great. Yeah, I want to help people, but I also need to make money. Well, money comes from people, ultimately. No matter what type of job or role you're in, someone's cutting that check, or the company you're working for, the business that you have is providing a service for people. So a great way to start to find clarity is to try to figure out who you want to serve. Okay? And it doesn't have to be directly. We'll talk about that in a second, but the who is where you get to be selfless, right? When you think about who you want to serve, it's completely selfless. It has nothing to do with you. It's about other people. The what is what you do to serve them. The how is where you get to be selfish because that's where you get to decide how to do it. So just as an example, who I serve is athletes who are about to retire, student athletes or professional athletes. What I do to serve them is help them prepare for the next chapter of their life. I do that through podcasts, through books, through speaking, through coaching, okay? How I do it, now, well, let me use Carly as an example too. Carly and I both serve the same type of folks, right? We both serve student athletes or athletes who are like helping them well develop into well-rounded human beings. And what we do, it's the same thing, but the how is different. Because Carly works here with you guys and puts resources in front of you and collaborates with other departments. So her how is different from my how, but we're doing the same thing. So that's why I say the how is selfish, the who is selfless. So can anyone think of a who, like a demographic, a group of people that you would want to serve? Can someone give me an example?
My community.
Okay, what's your community?
Well, I want a farm employee, so it would be like the people there, like feeding them.
Okay, very good. So that's your what too, you want to feed them. Now, how are you gonna do that? Or how would you like to do that, I should say?
Being sustainable, giving them good crops to put into their systems and everything like that, and making like a brand for myself out of that.
Very good. So we're talking about like a company that is providing them with resources. Okay, so like government contracts, city, okay.
Small business,
okay. I like that. Spend some time on that. That's good. That's a great who, what, and how. That's very clear, very direct. Does anyone else have a clear who, what, and how, or is anyone struggling? Like, maybe you have the who, but you don't know how you want to serve them? Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
No who either?
No, it's more about, so I have, like, my family has a company back home, I'm from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more about, like, they want me once I'm going to stop playing tennis.
Mm-hmm.
They want me to take over that, like, me and my brother, but I don't really know if I'm, like, if I fit in that, because it's like, I mean, you know, like, Formula One, like, the cars and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I don't know if I can do that, like.
Or you don't want to do that?
Yeah.
Have you had that conversation yet? That's gonna be fun, huh? You know, the fact that you're not sure, the fact that you know you don't want to do it means you shouldn't. It's that simple. And that may cause some
stress. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I don't want to do it, but I think, like, inside of me, it's like, an answer that I don't.
Yeah.
I
can tell just by talking to you, you don't want to do it. Like, it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
So, well, we can, this is another conversation. We can work on the who, like, just, we'll figure something out. Reach out to me. We'll work on the who, what, and how later. But it sounds like the bigger thing that needs to happen, if you haven't done so already, is having a conversation with the family. Like, I ain't doing that, you know? And I'm sure that it's not easy. It's easier said than done. But it's a conversation that's going to happen sooner rather than later, you know? Because it's not like you're not going to get involved with the family business. So if you're not going to do it, you should probably tell them at some point, right? The sooner, the better, you know? Well, maybe you do have something else that you'd like to do. Have you, you know, thought about that? Anything you might want to do instead of that?
I do like the, I mean, once I'm going to be done, like, with college, I think I'm going to play some years, like tennis. So
mm-hmm.
I think I want to stay in the, like, sport environment. I don't know if it's going to be, like, college athletics or stuff, but, yeah.
Okay. So you're going to stay, you're going to keep playing professional tennis? Okay. Well, that's great. So, while you're playing, that's a great time because you have money coming in, you'll still be playing tennis. That's a great time for you to start to really think about your who, what, and how. Like, does anyone come to mind in terms of who you might like to serve or help at all? Anyone? Okay. Just that, okay, I mean, that's great. It's not just athletes. Like, if you want to help athletes, that's great. What would you want to do to help athletes?
So, I'm doing my master in sports psychology. So, mm-hmm. So, tennis is a really, like, mental sport, and I think that affects not only, like, tennis players, but in general, like, all kind of athletes.
So what you're telling me is you know exactly what you want to do. That's what it sounds like to me. It's just having the conversation with your family that's in the way.
Just.
Yeah, just, right. Just, huh? Just. Yeah, I feel you. Yeah. What I would do is, honestly, because you know what you want to do, like, the conversation is as simple as, like, did you tell them that you were going to do that? Or has it always just kind of been up in the air?
It's more about, that's like, you know, when there are, like, family dinner and stuff, like, whatever, like, it's gonna bring it up, like, when are you gonna take over, you know?
Oh, and you're just like, ah, I gotta go, I gotta take this call.
Parents, but my grandpa and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's, yeah.
Okay, so I would just tell them this is not easy and you can spend more time crafting this. But honestly, I would just tell them flat out, like, I'm gonna continue playing tennis and then I'm gonna be a sports psychologist. That's what I'm gonna do.
Like, they want me to continue playing tennis, it's the after tennis, that's not really that much sport for them.
What I'm saying is I wouldn't wait until you retire from your professional tennis career to have that conversation. I would just let them know now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you should probably make other plans for someone else to come into this family business because I'm gonna be a sports psychologist. And it's gonna suck and it's gonna be uncomfortable, but it's either that or, like, you can deal with the discomfort of them continuing to ask you or talk to you about it and you just brush it off, or you can just, like, rip the Band-Aid off, you know? So, man, family businesses. I talk to a lot of athletes where this, you know, the folks want them to take over the family business and stuff like that, and it's not easy, but it's, you know, if you don't want to do it, you don't want to do it. I know that sounds like some simple advice, but that's all I got. So, all right. All right, next exercise. Damn, I forgot about the slides. Typical. All right. Another exercise. This is also on page 41 and 43, okay? And I'm telling you guys, like, if you take this book home, even if you don't read it, just skip to the exercises and do some of those. 43. Oh, I'm tripping. My bad. 41. My bad. All right, I call this exercise 3x3. So maybe not in your case, you may not want to ask your family, but for everyone else, this is an opportunity for you to ask the people. Well, you could not. You could ask like someone else who knows you, like teammates or you know siblings, folks like that. The 3x3 exercise is you ask the three people who know you best, three people who know you better than anyone in the world. And you ask those three people three questions. That's why it's called 3x3. Three people who know you best, you ask them three questions, all right? The first question is, and this is simple, but stay with me. The first question is, what are my strengths? The second question is, that was funny. What are my weaknesses is number two. The third question is the most important question, is how do you envision me making a contribution to the world, okay? Do not skip out on doing this exercise. Ask a teammate, ask a sibling, ask a significant other, ask a parent, ask a grandparent, ask somebody. You have to ask people these questions and write down their responses, because the answers you get to this question can give you a lot of insight into what you should be doing, how you should be spending your time, especially the last, like think about asking someone, how do you envision me making a contribution to the world? Do you know what kind of answers you can get from someone that could be like, wow, I never saw myself that way? Number one, it's gonna feel good, which doesn't hurt, but it also will help you find clarity around what you're going to do and how you're gonna do it. So please don't skip out on doing that exercise. Another thing is you can create a future version of yourself that you can live into. So, and this comes back to clarity has to be cultivated, right? Because most of the time we're so wrapped up in our sport, we don't really have time to think about like, who do I actually wanna be? Like I have a future version of myself that I call T40. I already told y'all I'm 33. I have a version of the T stands for Taj. So T40 is me when I'm 40 years old. I think about what I want my life to look like. And I already surpassed that because I came up with this when I was 27. So I have to set new goals of what T40 looks like. And then I actively pursue that. And sometimes it's helpful if you really get clear on what you like, pick an age or pick, you know, a certain milestone. You say, hey, by this point, I want it to look like this. And then you start to live into that future version of yourself. And as you're going through your day to day, you take action from that point. So everything I do, when I have T40 defined, the 40-year-old version of myself, when I operate on my day-to-day, I've been doing this since I was 27. I think to myself, what would my 40-year-old self do in this moment? How would he approach this situation? How would he handle this conversation? How would he handle this disappointment or this failure, right? What would he do at this point in his career? So give that a shot. I know it sounds crazy. You might want to even record yourself. I have many recordings where if I'm going through something, I'll write it out and I'll respond to myself. Like a business deal fell through. Man, I was banking on that business deal. That was like a six-figure deal that was coming through and it fell through. I'm disappointed about that. And I'll write it and I'll respond to myself on the page, or I'll record myself responding as my future self. You like, Carly done brought a nutcase in here. This dude's telling me to talk to myself. What? But try it out. Trust me, I'm weird, but I'm winning, okay? That's a Taj Deshawn original right there. Next time somebody's hating on you, just tell them I'm weird, but I'm winning. All right. Now, hold up. All right, this right here. My wife is funny. I asked her to put some slides together for me. And when we got to this, she called it the little statue. There was a time when, you know how I told you about that period where I was drinking and smoking a lot, right? I was in my bedroom, my childhood bedroom, all the little posters on the wall and stuff still, very embarrassing. It was a low point of my life as a college grad. And it's funny because I was actually in there rolling up a joint at the time. And so I'm sitting there, I'm rolling up, and my mom knocks on the door. And I'm like, trying to put everything away real quick. And she comes in the room and she's like, hey, and my mom's very religious and very like religious and spiritual at the same time. So she comes in the room, she's like, hey, I was out shopping today. And I don't know why, but God spoke to me and told me to give you this trophy. Just take it, do with it what you will. And bless you. And what do you think? What does this mean when you see this trophy? What does this mean to you guys?
Help others have
a video. Very good. Anything else? I like that. I would pass it around. I passed it around at a school one time and it came back all sticky. And I was like, what the hell? What is going on? I had to sanitize it. I'm like, all right. So now I just hold it up. All right. But what? Anybody else? What does this symbolize to you? Damn, that's good. I hadn't even thought of that one. I like that. Anybody else? I'm sorry, what was that, brother? Don't leave people behind. That's good. Okay. Anyone else? Wow. Y'all are deep. I like this. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Very good. So what it meant to me, and once again, I was at a low point in my life. What it meant to me, when I, the first thing I thought when I saw this was, I need somebody to help pull me up. That was the first thing I thought. And then as I started to have more success in life, I realized, oh, I need to help others or help pull other people up. So every time I see this, it's a reflection of me to always remind myself that, and this applies to all of us, we always need people in our lives who are pulling us up. And if you don't have that person or those people, you gotta find those people, right? And then you always wanna strive to be able to pull other people up as well. And finding that balance in life is what ultimately brings fulfillment, whether that's career or just your personal life. So now, let me see. Man, we gotta breeze through this. I never stay on track with my notes. It's hilarious. Actually, on that note of always pulling people up. So you'll always be a role model. The reason I have this in here is because how many of you guys have professional aspirations but aren't going pro? I know that might be tough to put your hand up for that one. Oh, I see some slight hands. I see y'all. I see it. That's not when you just shoot your hand up in the air. I was talking to a guy once, at Michigan State football player, and he was feeling really disappointed because he got injured and, you know, his professional dreams are out the window. And he always had this dream to pay off his, because his parent, he had great parents, comes from a great family. He had this dream to pay off his parents' house and then basically build them a new house on their land. So he was like devastated. He comes up to me afterwards and he's crying. He's like, man, I just feel like a failure. You know, he's on crutches. He's like, I just feel like I let them down. So we talked for like an hour after I had, you know, talked to the whole group. And so you fast forward, that was a while ago. That was like 3-4 years ago. He started a company, and it's not like a huge company, but he made some decent money, six figures, and he takes that money and puts it into investments because he studied and learned how to invest. And from the investment money, he built his parents a house because he was intentional about, he didn't let go of that dream, right? He didn't let go of, I don't have football anymore, I don't have the vehicle to get me there. He still held on to that and found a way to make it happen. And he did it by being true to himself. So I tell that story because when I think about, it's not just about, like, that's an example of his parents. I don't know why that story came up. I just wanted to share it, so I shared it. But being a role model means, like, all the people who are looking up to you, your little siblings, nieces, nephews, like, all the folks who are looking at you and have, like, admired you for being this larger-than-life figure of being a D1 athlete, those same people are going to be looking up to you after you graduate. And you don't want them to say, like, I peaked in college, right? Like, oh, man, you used to be the man, you used to be the woman back in the day when you were at Fresno State, but now, like, you work at the gas station. You know, that was a bad example. The gas station was a bad example. But you guys get what I'm trying to say, right? All right, we're coming up on time. Freshman in life, the reason I have this up here is because no matter what you guys, and please, guys, please, I know I've said it time and time again, but we can't get to everything today, and I didn't stick to my notes, so I'm, you know, about to go over time anyway, but I want you guys to really take this book seriously and read through it, because I've seen these exercises work. There's no way you can read this book cover to cover and not know 100% what you want to do and have a game plan for how to do it. The reason I have freshman in life up here is because you have to understand that no matter what you do after you leave Fresno State, you're going to be a freshman. Like, you're a freshman in life. You're starting over. And I think if you have that mentality and you can humble yourself, Carly and I were talking about this earlier, like, you know, in anything that you do, like, you guys know Carly, she's awesome, right? Carly is amazing. Carly treats this role like she's still hooping. Carly comes in, like, she's serious about hers. Like, she's... Carly's a prime example of how to apply your athletic mindset to your next role, to your next chapter in life, right? But we were talking earlier when we were recording the podcast, like, how you have to really humble yourself in terms of thinking, like, okay, whatever I go into next, I have to act like I'm a freshman or I'm a rookie in this thing, because no matter where you guys go after Fresno State, there are going to be people there who have already been doing it and they're going to be better than you. So don't let that discourage you. You know, I got discouraged early on when I was starting out in jobs and I was like, man, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm used to being a big man on campus. Like, I don't like this feeling of not being good at something. But if you know that that's waiting for you no matter where you go, then that brings a level of, well, number one, reality, but also peace of mind, understanding that you can climb the ranks if you just treat it like it's your sport. I have a mentor, Thomas Williams. He played football at SC. And you're like, boo, SC. And then he played in the league for a little bit. But he always says, I never stop playing football. I just don't tackle people anymore. And that always stuck with me. So I'm going to skip some slides. We're going to skip that. Man, I don't want to skip that. I want to skip to this, though. Well, okay, film practice and game. That's what I was just talking about. Like, everything you do, like, you guys all watch film, you all practice, you all play games. So anything you do in life, once you have clarity, of course, I want you to really think about approaching it that same way. Film, practice, and game, okay? Drafting mentors, this is important. Everything we've talked about tonight, you don't have to do it alone. Like, that's the thing, there are great people out there in the world, whether they're former athletes or not, there are so many people out in the world who would be willing to help you if you would just reach out and say, hey, I'm trying to figure out what I want to do, or I'm going through this right now, or I want to get into this field, or I'm trying to find this type of job. Can you help me? And you'd be surprised how many people will respond to you. Let me ask you something. If you know what you want to do, let's say you've got to the point where you found clarity, you know exactly what you want, what type of business or what type of role or what type of industry, and you're like, oh, there are people who I can find on LinkedIn or other places, and they're already doing that, and they're good at it, and those people could be my mentors that I could draft. What do you think would present or prevent someone from reaching out? What would prevent you from reaching out to someone who you know you could help you? Give me an example.
Fear of rejection.
Yep, for sure.
Pride.
What was that? I'm sorry? Pride? Absolutely. Pride, fear of rejection. Anything else? I mean, those are honestly the only two things, pretty much. But what I always like to share with folks is that if you reach out to someone and they don't respond, or they say no, your life is no different. Absolutely no different. But if you reach out to someone and they're willing to help you get where they got to, or kind of take you under their wing and help give you guidance, then that can change your entire life. So don't let pride or fear of rejection prevent you from drafting mentors. The concept of drafting mentors, I talk about it in the book. I go in depth. I even give you some, what page is that? If you turn to page 56, there's some instructions on there about when you are having a conversation with someone. That's what that whole chapter is about. Like, what questions should you ask them? How do you even identify the right type of people to reach out to? When someone's willing to be a mentor to you, what kind of questions do you ask? All that stuff is in the book. The concept of drafting mentors comes from, like, you know, when every professional team has a draft, even college recruiting is basically drafting the best player. So why would you not want to draft people into your life who can help pull you up? So, okay. I want to come back to this one. Earlier when I was talking about the young man who built his parents a house, that's a dream come true for him. And so the concept of dream versus nightmare is that, and this is assuming that you already have clarity, right? So once you know what you want to do and you're going after it, you need both a dream and a nightmare. Because if you have one or the other, it's not really going to keep you motivated to go long term. If you have a dream that you're going after, that's great, but you can be super casual. I know a lot of us know people who have dreams or things they talk about they're going to do, but they're not really doing them. That's being casual about your dream. And the reason being is that if you don't have a nightmare, something that, like, what's the worst case scenario if I don't pursue this? Right? Like, for me, my dream is to, it's funny because I'm actually working on building a house right now, and my parents are 60. That's like, you know, another 10, 20 years. I'm just being realistic. They're going into the age where health starts to decline. You know, I just have to be real about that. So I'm like, okay, if their health were to decline, am I going to put them in some sort of retirement home? Or what if I put myself in position to be able to, you know, add on another house on my property or build onto my house to where they can have their own place where they can live? That's a dream for me. Or to, like, buy another property and have land to build on. So that's a dream. The nightmare is, what if I just go completely broke? I've been broke before. When I started Thrive After Sports, I was living with my girlfriend at the time, my wife. We were living together. But I went broke to the point where she had to take over paying the rent for a while. Not a good feeling as a man. Fellas, imagine, like, you know, you're living with your girl and then all of a sudden she's paying the rent for a few months. So I've been there before, and that's the nightmare that keeps me going. Like, I'll never be back in that place, but in the back of my mind, I know if I don't play my cards right, I could easily end up in a bad financial spot. And not that everything has to be about money, right? But I'm saying that you want to use the people who are closest to you to fuel your dream and have a nightmare that you're running from that keeps you right in that sweet spot of going forward. So, okay. We could do some Q&A, but I want to wrap up with this quote. The same one I started with. Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it, because what the world needs is more people who have come alive. Now, questions, comments, concerns, anyone want to share some thoughts about what we talked about tonight? Anything at all? Does anyone feel like you're still having a hard time figuring out what you want to do when you graduate next month? Everybody's good. Yes, sir.
I just got a question. Like, let's say you don't know what makes you come alive. Mm-hmm. How would you go about finding what makes you come alive?
I would think about things that you spend time doing that no one has to tell you to do. Someone just thought of something when I said that, right? Can you give me an example? Like, is there anything that you do that no one has to make you do, or you just enjoy doing it?
Yeah, for me, it would be my sport that I...
Mm-hmm. And you are golf, I remember, because, yeah. Okay, so this may be a case, honestly, where, and are you going on to play professionally?
Yeah, I'll play professionally, yeah.
Okay, and then in terms of like thinking about, because one day we know,
yeah,
so what are you thinking about doing after your professional golf career is over? This is one of those situations where, like, you know how I talked about cultivating clarity earlier? So you have two options, because you're someone who, like, you love golf, you're playing professionally, or you're going on to play professionally. You could definitely stay in that world, whatever that looks like, and I know there are many different arenas you can go to in the world of golf, but you'd be doing yourself a disservice if you didn't spend time thinking about other avenues you could pursue, right? And honestly, even if you think about something outside of golf, it could unlock something in your mind that you could do in the world of golf that you may not have thought of. So I know this, like, it may sound, well, first of all, read the book, do the exercises. I'm sure you'll be able to uncover other things. But also, man, like, spend time on it. Like, I don't care if, I know this may seem weird to be like, I'm gonna take out a pen and paper, and I'm gonna think about, like, what is it that I actually enjoy outside of golf? You know what I mean? Or if I wasn't golfing, how would I be spending my time? Or when I retire from golf, do I want to be in that world still, or are there other things that I could see myself doing that would also bring me fulfillment? And don't forget, like, other things that have an impact on others as well. That's going to be important too.
Yeah.
So, Carly, I know we're over time. My bad. I don't want to keep you guys here all night unless there's...
Does anyone have any other questions?
And by the way, I'm going to be here for a little bit. Carly said that there was some food happening tonight, so I never turned down a free meal.
Free food outside.
Okay, so I'll be around if anybody wants to come up, ask a question, chop it up, exchange contact info. That's all my info on the screen right there. So thank you guys, appreciate you.